Saturday, March 30th. I'm in the bathroom right now. Sarah is
doing my 1970s eye makeup.
We're going to our friends Nate and Sarah Babs's place tonight for Sarah's birthday party. And it is, she's having a 70s themed birthday party. I thought Sarah Babs. It was her birthday a while back. It's her party, 70s themed. Sarah now is dressed up. It's so funny, by the way, when Nate and I are out and about we're on the road, it's always my Sarah or your Sarah.
I love that.
That's how he and I talk.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I was talking to your Sarah. Oh yeah, my Sarah and your, yeah, it's like just part of your names with the two of us. Okay, so my Sarah right here is wearing white leggings.
White tights, okay. Not leggings, gross.
Here's the thought. I was listening to a talk by Adam Savage today, who's best known for that show Mythbusters back in the day. And on his YouTube channel, Tested, he does a shitload of Q&A stuff, which I love.
Yeah.
Because he is a maker, which is, it's funny. That's just like such a modern term. He's a maker, like a Van Neistat or something. His main thing for the longest time, he built props. He worked for ILM, the Industrial Light and Magic. Yeah, that was his big break into it. He actually, ILM, if you don't know, they were the Industrial Light and Magic was built by George Lucas to essentially invent the things that were like the effects that were in the Star Wars movies, right? Because no one was doing it, so he had to freaking invent a whole studio of doing it. Okay, what?
Look at my sparkly eyes.
You're going all out.
Big eyelashes.
Hey, side note, I wanted to go tonight I was thinking it'd be hilarious to wear my massive Benedictine monk costume and show up and be like, well, yeah, you said the 70s. I thought this is, I'm dressed up as the 1470s.
That's so dumb. I mean, yeah, it's a no.
It's a no. I thought that it'd have been great.
Nate would have loved it.
Yeah, you would have. Anyways. Oh, by the way, ILM, where Adam Savage worked, is where he met the other Jamie, whatever his name was from Mythbusters, was his manager at ILM. Or like, he was supervisor or something like that. He hired him. Long story short, one of the Q&A things in this world of people that make things, they asked a couple things. One guy asked, you know, I want to get into prop building. What are advice, like how can I get connected with people? And what's your advice for starting out with this? And then he asked, and also I want to put a portfolio together so I can show people my work.
Right.
What would you, how would you recommend approaching that? And my ears instantly were like, oh yeah, this is exact same thing with music. Always wondering. It's such a weird thing because you have to be, and this is part of what he said. He's like, you have to be your own cheerleader. Like you're your own PR. You have to be talking about, because nobody gives a shit about what you're doing and what you're passionate about making, or what you no one is gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna give Rob a break because Rob really wants to play bass guitar, so I'll provide Rob. No, you're useful or you're not to somebody. And you need to be sharing your shit regularly, so when people go, oh, I need this, you just come to mind. Because that's the deal. Like, that's the biggest mistake. This isn't what he said, but for me, it's like the biggest mistake or misunderstanding I had was that, you know, someone needs a bass player. And so everybody has a Rolodex in their mind that is properly alphabetized. But at the very top, it's the very best, whatever the hell that means. And then it goes down to the least skilled all the way at the bottom. And they just start working their way down the list and for the first one that's available. It's not how it works. Somebody has a need, and what is on the front of their mind? I've had so many situations where someone asked me to play a show because we were hanging out the night before, and they're like, oh, by the way, I totally forgot about this, but would you want to play this?
Right.
Just by running into somebody. And now in the modern times, we all have social media, and so that's the equivalent. Social media I just think of as the bar that we're all hanging out in. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have to be putting yourself out there. And so that was part of what he said. And then he goes on to talk about how You need to show work that shows how useful you are. Mm-hmm. Like nothing, like a lot of times we want to show the work that's like crazy, like intricate or
super original. Like, look how unique I am. It's my new idea.
Yeah, look at this song I recorded. But for somebody that's wanting to hire you, they want to know how useful you are to them. So he was talking about in the making things world, a piece of advice that someone from Industrial Light and Magic gave to him from the virtual effects CGI department. They were saying, I don't want to see this environment that you rendered that of like really steampunk original stuff. He's like, design me a Cadillac in the computer. Because, okay, Strider is church. What do you want, Strider?
He wants to play. What's that?
What's that? He said, this guy goes, make me a Cadillac because I know what that's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And so I can see that was your goal and I want to see how close you came to that and show me some like fine-tuned details that you had to design or a problem that you had to overcome. Mm-hmm. And he says, where people put like 20 things on their resume or their portfolio, he's like, instead, just send me one thing. And show me, explain different steps and how you had to overcome things and show me your skill in that. And it got me thinking, here's a little tangent, but it got me thinking that I wonder if you know that people in the cocktail and beer world, if they're going to, like say you're a mixologist and you're going to a new bar for the first time, mm-hmm. there is a cocktail that the majority of mixologists order right off the bat. If they want to know how good a bar is and what they're working with. And that drink is a daiquiri.
Which is, I heard this a few years back from you probably. And it's such an interesting choice that I wouldn't think of.
Yeah.
But also, as I'm about to start talking, it also makes a lot of sense. Because on one hand, you have the, quote, daiquiri of New Orleans, Florida, yeah. Some like shitty, syrupy, blended, weird thing.
Yes.
Which has its place in the world. And then you have a proper daiquiri. So, and even a proper daiquiri can be syrupy and not great either. So,
yeah. And the reason for that is that a daiquiri in modern cocktail terms should be served a certain way. It should be served neat. And it involves juice and a sweetener and rum. So because of that, the balance of the lemon juice, is it lemon? No, it's lime juice. Lime juice and the simple syrup that you're using or whatever sweetener you're going with, that right off the bat shows you how well those are the things that balance each other out in a cocktail. Mm-hmm. Sweet and tart. So if one is out of balance, like if it's too like lemony, you should add some sweetness and vice versa. They balance each other out.
Lime.
So
limey.
Did I say lemon again?
Yeah.
Pfft, lime. So it shows your skill in making a balanced cocktail.
Totally.
Also, it shows right off the bat, they can look and see how you're doing it. And are you using fresh juice or using out of like a, whatever that lime juice is that you get at the grocery store?
Yeah.
So it's something
sour mix, which is the ultimate sin.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So you order something, which is so counterintuitive to me. The fact that you'd order something that you know what it's supposed to taste like and see their approach to it. In the beer world, I feel like the beer equivalent from brewers that I've heard is a Pilsner. If you want to go to a brewery and you want to know how good this brewery is, you order a Pilsner beer because a Pilsner or even something equivalent,
like a lager even?
Yeah, but I think specifically a Pilsner with the malts, you can't hide anything. It's either if you have off flavors in your brewing process, it's going to show up in it. This next Monday I'm releasing one of my favorite conversations I've had so far on the podcast with the head brewer from Summit Brewing. And he was talking about how I'm not even going to try his Irish accent, but he's like, Sarah just mouths. No,
no, no, don't do that.
He says you can hide a double-decker bus in a stout but you can't hide anything in a Pilsner. And so it just has me thinking. I don't know what to do with this information necessarily, but I'm wondering in this world of, for me as a bass player, my portfolio is essentially my discography or videos of me performing with other artists.
Okay.
I'm going to stop myself right now because I can feel myself getting into self-help mode. And here's here's the moral of the story. And here's 3 to 5 steps. Yeah, they all start with the letter B. And so you need to be brave and share your work. And you need to be bold and share your most dynamic work. And you got to be ballsy. I don't know. I think this is interesting.
If that serves you, use it.
If this doesn't serve you, throw it right down the toilet.
Rob Morgan is an internationally touring bassist on a journey to discover what it means to live a curious life. At thecuriouspod.com, you'll find an archive of conversations recorded all over the world, a map of recording locations, a weekly newsletter, and official podcast merchandise. Rob is recording a daily podcast where he's sharing insights into the creative journey and the secrets to living a curious life that he's discovered from over a decade of traveling the world with music. We here at Curious Endeavors have told him this is probably a mistake and he's an idiot to attempt it, but he won't budge, so that's where we're currently at. We hope you'll enjoy.
Meow.